Having seen some of the many sources that help us grasp theological structures of a period in the Old Testament, we should now turn to the different levels of theological structures we encounter. As we looked for the synthetic, logical arrangements of Old Testament theology in particular periods of history, it soon becomes apparent that various levels of theological structures appear. They include a broad spectrum, ranging from very simple to very elaborate structures. To see how this is so, we'll look at three levels of theological structures. First, we'll give attention to basic-level synthetic theological structures. Second, we'll look at an example of middle-level synthetic theological structures. And third, we'll explore relatively complex synthetic theological structures. Let's turn our attention first to some of the basic logical arrangements that characterize the theology revealed in periods of Old Testament history. The most basic theological structures appear in the logical connections and implications among specific acts and words of God. To see what we mean, we'll look at two issues. First, we'll explore some of the ways divine act and word revelations logically intersect. And second, we'll illustrate what we have in mind with a particular passage. Let's think first about the kinds of logical intersections that exist among divine actions and words. There are many ways God's specific revelations relate to each other. In the first place, God's acts often intersect with His words. As we saw in our previous lesson, God's words often preceded His actions in the form of predictions. At other times, God's words occur nearly simultaneously with His actions and explained what He was doing. And at still other times, His words came after His acts and reflected on the significance of what God had done in the past. At the same time, God's actions also shed light on His words. For instance, when God acted before He spoke, His actions often anticipated what He would say by preparing for His word to come. When God acted nearly simultaneously with His words, His actions often illuminated the meaning of His explanatory words. And of course, when God acted after He had spoken, He often did so to fulfill His previous words. But in addition to this, basic theological structures appear in the ways God's actions logically intersect with His other actions. In these cases, logical coherence comes into view in a number of ways. To name just a few possibilities, sometimes one act of God was simply added to or combined with another act. At other times, one thing that God did foreshadowed another action that He performed. Acts of God prepared the setting for additional acts, and at times, divine actions caused other acts to occur. And beyond this, basic theological structures also appear as we see how God's word revelations logically intersect with other word revelations. Once again, the possible associations are innumerable. To name just a few, one word may simply have been added to another. One word may have been the logical basis for another, or one word may have explained another. The various ways God's acts and words related to each other established many logical arrangements. The intersections of God's specific actions and words formed countless intricate webs of logical implications. These implications formed synthetic theological structures or coherent theological perspectives that God established at particular times in Old Testament history. With this general idea in mind, it will help to illustrate how intersections of divine acts and words form coherent theological structures in a particular passage. Consider, for instance, a portion of the story of Eve's creation in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 22. There we read these familiar words. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Consider first some of the logical intersections between God's actions and words. The passage begins in verse 15 with God putting the man in the garden to take care of it. This act intersected with God's word in the first half of verse 18 when God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." At first blush, we might have thought that Adam's life in the Garden of Eden was grand, but God's word reflected on his previous action and noted that Adam's isolated existence was not good. In a similar way, we also see that the words of the second half of verse 18, "I will make a helper suitable for him," predicted God's action of fulfillment in making the woman in verse 22. These logical connections between God's acts and words reveal a simple theological structure, a coherent set of beliefs that grew out of this period in history. God created human beings to tend his garden, but this task required both males and females. God's various actions in this story also intersected with each other in ways that reveal synthetic theological structures. God had already formed animals in preparation for Adam to exercise authority by naming them in verse 19. Verse 20 tells us that Adam did not find a helper among the animals, and this partly explained the purpose of Adam's interaction with the animals. These acts of God revealed a simple theological perspective, a logical way of looking at these things. God ordained men to rule over the animals, not to find their suitable helpers among them. Finally, we can also see a logical intersection between two revelatory words in verse 18. On the one hand, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." This statement is the reason for God then saying, "I will make a suitable helper for him." This logical connection reveals the coherent theological point of view that God's resolution for man's unacceptable solitary existence was the creation of a suitable helper. This simple example illustrates what we encounter time and again in the Old Testament. Synthetic theological structures, coherent theological perspectives, are revealed through the intersections of divine acts